So, chanting with taste. We've heard about it, right? There is such a thing. There are devotees that have a taste. There's one... I'd like to read it, but I'll just say it quickly. A famous conversation, morning walk conversation with Srila Prabhupada in Nairobi in the 70s, where the devotee, and that one of the devotees in the morning walk was asking Prabhupada, how do we know if we're chanting with quality? And Prabhupada's reply was, you must. There's no question of quality. You must. And Brahmananda intervened and said, what he wants to know is, when we're chanting our 16 rounds every day, how do we know if we're chanting with quality? And Prabhupada said, there's no question. You must. So he said the same thing again. He said, no, but then he tried again. Prabhupada, what he wants to know is, we know that we must chant 16 rounds, and that's a duty for us. But when that chanting is going on, how do we know of its quality? And long monologue of Prabhupada saying, there's no question of quality. It's duty. Quality means, why 16 rounds, 16 million rounds? Endlessly chanting and chanting and chanting, that's quality. So that's also where there's taste. Why? Kirtaniya sadahari, chanting always. Chanting. So before there's taste, there's practice. And that was a little bit of our discussion. Derek is here, right? Where's Derek? Okay. So, Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi comes from the word vidhi. And vidhi means regulations. The things that you do, like Prabhupada was saying, there's no question, you must. You're chanting 16 rounds because you're told by the spiritual master, you must, so you chant 16 rounds. Maybe more than 16 rounds, maybe less than 16 rounds, but you're chanting on that instruction. That's vidhi. I'm going to read just two little things from Nectar of Instruction. Some of you have studied Nectar of Instruction. It's part of the four essential Bhakti Shastri literatures. Text 8 explains spontaneous devotional service beyond the stage of regulation. This was your question this morning. So here's Prabhupada quoting Bhaktisiddhanta, commenting on text 8 in the purport. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness, listen to this, should give up all material motives, that was pretty fast, and train his mind, that was pretty fast too, by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting, and remembering Krishna and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, and it goes on, you know, and spontaneous devotional service can take place. Now, I'm going to use my hand to show there's 9 stages of bhakti, and one of them is taste. And taste, below taste is what? Nishtha, firm faith, and below nishtha is what? Anartha Nivritti, eradication of unwanted things. We're somewhere, you know, the beginning, middle, or, you know, maybe upper end of that, of Anartha Nivritti. We're not at the nishtha stage, we're not at the taste stage. So going down from Anartha Nivritti is Bhajana Kriya. And below Bhajanakriya is Sadhusanga. And below Sadhusanga, the foundation is faith, preliminary faith, that says, there's something greater than the rat race. There must be. I know there is. I have conviction. There's some higher reality, a higher truth, a higher existence, a higher consciousness. There must be. I'm sure of it. I don't know exactly what it is, but it exists. Preliminary faith. Then, with association of devotees, Bhajanakriya, devotional activities, and with that, Anarthanivritti, eradication of impure things of the heart, coming to the stage of Nishtha, firm faith, and above that is Ruchi, and above that is where there's spontaneous devotional service. And he says it again, still quoting Bhaktisiddhanta, commenting on text 8, the Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes, he says it again, to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulative devotional service of the Lord according to the directions of scriptures. In this way, a devotee can gradually develop attachment. Now that's above the taste stage, is attachment for Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and so forth. When one has developed such attachment, asakti, there's only two left, bhava and prema. So one has reached the attachment stage, he can practice raga bhakti. So if we're somewhere down here, we just focus on down here, with the, as according to Rupa Goswami's text number 3, with great enthusiasm and full confidence and great determination, we're going to get there by focusing here. So now, that's one reference. Here's another. That was Bhaktisiddhanta on Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, similarly describing the stages of bhakti, and I'm going to read just two paragraphs. One is Nishtha. It's just a paragraph, and his description of what that Nishtha stage is. The Srimad Bhagavatam declares that with the appearance of Naishtaki bhakti, the devotee's consciousness is unaffected by the material modes of passion and ignorance. His consciousness, thus purified of evil traits, like lust, that's anarthanivritti, nearly complete, then becomes fixed in the mode of goodness, and the devotee experiences divine happiness, the essential yardstick for measuring perfectly the depth of nishtita bhakti, or the lack of it, anishtita bhakti, is whether hearing and chanting has intensified or stagnated. An increase of hearing and chanting thus indicates a rise in nishtita bhakti, while any decrease implies the presence of anishtita bhakti. So that's before the Ruchi stage. And then following the Ruchi stage, he quickly describes, following the Nishtha is the Ruchi and Asakti, which he describes this way. Ruchi is defined as the taste or attraction that first helped the devotee to relish the process of hearing, and now Ruchi assists the devotee in the process of chanting. Like, develop an attraction for it and keep going further. As the devotee's taste increases, the repetition of hearing and chanting seems not at all, in the least, exacting. Thereafter, Ruchi transforms into a strong attachment for hearing and chanting. He gives the example of a Brahmin boy who studies the scriptures and is arduous. After arduous study and study and study and study, he starts to understand the message of the scripture, and then he likes the study because gradually he begins to understand the import of the scriptures. Thus, this creates a fresh interest for him, and his studies are no longer a burden. So, like Prabhupada said, there's no question, you must. That's vidhi or vaidhi bhakti. And then, no longer you must. There's a craving. Why 16 rounds? 16 million rounds. Kirtaniya sadahari. So, Derek, you got the answer to your question. So that's a technical sense of, from scripture.
What taste?
The stage of bhakti, where there's taste. So, it's not like, oh, phooey. I guess I just have to submit to being one who chants without taste. Just chant. Grin and bear it. But taste comes through maturing in devotional service. That's like an overview statement of how that taste can arise. Now, Baladev Vidyabhusan is another authority that I'll refer to. Baladev Vidyabhusan characterizes bhakti in one word. And I could ask you, what are some, in one word, what is bhakti? You could say it's devotion, or it's love, or it's feeling, or it's something like that. Attraction for Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. So he uses the word Trishna. Trishna for Krishna. Trishna. Trishna means thirst. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are impurities in the heart, and they're identified according to their origin, the source from which they arise. And one of those is asat trishna. I've been saying this the last few days, of affinity for matter. So thirst for the material. Thirst for enjoying separately from Krishna. There's an object, and I'm hankering for the object, whatever the object is. That's Trishna, thirst. So our thirst is for something separate from Krishna. And the taste is when there's thirst for Krishna. How many here, we just observed Pandava near Jalakadasi. How many observed Pandava near Jalakadasi? Nice. And when you broke the fast the next morning, what was it like? You were thirsty. For those of you that, there was a period of time in ISKCON when many, many, many devotees were observing Nirjala Ekadasi every Ekadasi, and there was a standard way to break the Ekadasi. It was like a whole gallon, like 2 quarts of water, 2 quarts of milk with some natural, like sukanat or some natural sweetener, something. And it's amazing how much, I did that, this Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi, and it just goes down and down. It's like there's no end to it. No, down and down and down and down. But at a certain point, like, yeah, that's it. You're saturated, completely hydrated. No more. You can try to put a little more in, but not much more is going to go in because you're already hydrated. But when, you know, the first cup, it's like there was nothing. It was like a breath of air, and then another one is another breath of air. It's just so because you're thirsty. So feelings for Krishna is part of thirst. So one way of chanting, this is a paradigm shift. One paradigm is, I have to. I chant because I have to. And mode of goodness says, I do those things that I know are purifying for me because they're good for me, so I do them. So it's mode of goodness is a little less force if that's how you're thinking of chanting. This will purify me. And if the mode of goodness is a little less, it's a little more force, a passion. What's fruitive about chanting? Like this discussion this morning about some people like to work. Charyanishtha was raising this point. You know, when we're introducing people to Krishna consciousness, or maybe like reorienting our own minds to Krishna consciousness, there may be a tendency to do service, quote, do service instead of chant, because like, as if chanting's not a service. Chanting is a service. So, mode of goodness is, I do this as a service because it will purify me. And if we lose sight of that, then maybe we like some other services, like fill your day up with other services so much there's no time for chanting. And then do that for a while, and you get the attraction for service diminishes too, because the attraction for serving Krishna arises from chanting. Otherwise, the material contamination kicks in again. So there's a way of chanting where, different than pushing, is being attracted by. And there's a nice little story. This is on the back of our Bhagavad Gita is Ralph Waldo Emerson, who read Bhagavad Gita, right? He wrote poetry referring to Bhagavad Gita. So on his 59th birthday, Ralph Waldo Emerson was living in a country estate, and he and his son, Edward, were trying to bring a young bull, a heifer, like a little baby, into the barn. And he was being stubborn, he wouldn't go. So Ralph Waldo Emerson wasn't a big physical guy, he was a writer. So he tried pushing the bull, little heifer. He wouldn't go. His son came along and saw him, so his son got on the other side, the back end and the back end, and they pushed and wouldn't go. So they decided, let's try again. They pushed double hard. He wouldn't go. And an Irish maid came by, saw what they were doing, and smiled. And she just held up her finger like this and put her finger in the mouth of the heifer and just went like this. And then the heifer went into the barn. Similarly, if there's some understanding and appreciation, first starts with understanding, then some appreciation of the all-attractive nature of Krishna, then it becomes possible to chant, not just like forcing the mind, cooperate, will you? Go to the holy name. Stop going all over the place. Pushing. That's one type. And the other is thinking of the object, the all-attractive Krishna. So one more time. That will come through maturity, or you can say purity, just through successive stages of chanting mindfully, where we're attempting to bring our mind to Krishna and be attracted by the all-attractive Krishna, which then takes us to Rupa Goswami. Because I spoke about this at the last festival of the Holy Name so many times, Avello made a little plaque on my desk, the parts of this verse. But I find meditating on the verse helps me chant more with more attraction for Krishna than forcing my mind to go to Krishna. So it's a Rupa Goswami's verse from Vidagdha Madhava, and it has four parts. First is, I do not know how much nectar has been created by these two syllables, Krishna. So meditate on that. The syllables, Krishna. Jiva Goswami writes about Krish means to attract, and Na indicates the spiritual happiness or spiritual pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So the attractiveness and the spiritual pleasure of the Supreme Lord are packed within the two syllables, Krishna. And by chanting those syllables, by vibrating those syllables, Krishna, we can become attracted to the all-attractive and experience in contact with the Supreme Reservoir of all happiness, spiritual happiness, just by association with that sound vibration. So chant with that thought or contemplation, that mood. And then, you know, the part that makes the sound, the mouth. When the mouth vibrates that sound, Krishna, Krishna appears to be dancing within one's mouth, and one then desires many, many mouths. So the part of your chanting that's making the sound, the mouth part, like the object, and then the mouth part. But Krishna's dancing, that all-attractive, all-nectarian Krishna's dancing within your mouth or on your tongue. And you, at least the taste part of Rupa Goswami is, one then desires many, many mouths. And you can concentrate on making the sound, meditating on the object. And then the sound enters the ear, so the tension then goes to the ear. And when that sound enters the ear, there's such nectar that one desires millions of ears. That's a lot of ears. So attention to the object made by the sound, made by the mouth, enters the ear, so it goes to the tension, goes to the hearing. And then when the sound, Krishna, enters into the courtyard of the heart, the mind becomes inert. The activities of the mind become inert. You know that, come on, mind, pay attention, will you? The activities of the mind become inert. And the activities of the mind become conquered and the senses become inert. The activities of the mind become conquered. And the senses become inert. Like, that's stunned. And the mind isn't, so that's taste. So we're not there. So by associating with Rupa Goswami, he's giving his association in chanting through this nice prayer. We can associate with him through this nice prayer, just like we can associate with Lord Chaitanya through Shikshastakam, through his nice prayers. And it requires, like Rupa Goswami says, cultivation. You know that term, right? From the introduction of Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. Remember that? That's Prabhupada's paraphrase of Anushilana from Rupa Goswami's verse. Anyabhilasha tushunyam gyanakarmadhyan avritam anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. Anushilana. Anu means follow and shilana means behavior. Cultivation. So you're going to hear this again, but there's a desire that I'd like to chant with taste. So we have to connect the desire with some activity. Practically apply Krishna consciousness. Connect a desire with an activity, and the activity is, think of the object, make the sound, hear the sound, bring the sound into the heart, and chant from that place. And that's a very special place, because in relation to the holy name, it has great effect. Our acharyas, just a few more things. Our acharyas have described that when there is taste, it can be felt or indicated by three different things. One is prapti, abhilas. What does abhilas mean? What does abhilas mean? Desire. Abhilas. Prapti abhilas. I desire to attain Krishna's shelter. I desire to attain Krishna's shelter. It's a sign when there's taste beyond. So this is the being attracted by the all attractive instead of pushing the mind. It's another state. It's maturity. It's a sign of taste slowly developing. An example of this, Prabhupada gave as a translation of the holy name, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, one that we all know. And that when we explain it to the public, this is commonly what we explain to the public. What the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, O energy of the Supreme Lord, please engage me in service of Krishna, the Supreme Father, because Hare is the vocative of Hara, who is another name of Radha, and the vocative becomes Radhe, or Hare. Hare, O energy of the Supreme Lord, O Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service. So it's an appeal for service. It's a prayer. A very broad prayer. Please engage me in service. It awakens, as I said this morning, it awakens this dormant, natural propensity, healthy propensity, our healthy state of wishing to serve Krishna awakens. That's the meaning of the mantra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given an additional and very nice meaning, same mantra. Krishna, please accept me. I was having some discussion with a devotee. They didn't like that. They felt like it's as if I'm asking, Krishna, you're in a grumpy mood, but please give up your grumpy mood and please have a nice mood. And I don't like that. Krishna's always in a nice mood and Krishna's always ready to accept me. He's appealing. So why should I ask him, please accept me? I don't like it. But it's a rasa type of expression where prapti abhilas, I wish to attain Krishna's shelter. It's not the obstacle in attaining Krishna's shelter, Krishna saying no. The obstacle is my own heart. So let my heart hanker for attaining his shelter. Prapti abhilas. It awakens taste, in other words. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through that description, is teaching us. It's I don't want to go too far with this, but it's a little bit like Vaidhi Bhakti and something that's more in the taste category of, I wish to attain you. Please accept me. It's also, it's an expression of humility, which is essential. Lord Chaitanya teaches, if we want to get over our having no attraction, we have to become humble. And the humble is, so the longer version of please accept me is, I have an eternal relationship with you, Krishna. Despite that fact, due to my foolishness and nasty mentality, I turned my back on you and I walked. And it's been a long walk. Lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. I've been avoiding you. I've been trying my utmost to find happiness without you. And I've done so many foolish things in that spirit. Now I've come to my senses. I wish to once again be in your association. All the bad things that I've done, I'm unqualified. I'm disqualified. But shamelessly I'm appealing anyway, because I know that you're very merciful. Please accept me once again in your service. It's a mood of humility. And to develop taste, to come to the stage of eradication of impure things and come to the steady stage, and then to the taste stage, certainly humility has to be there. You know, owning up to all of our stupidity. Nonetheless, here we are, presenting ourselves in this unclean state, wishing to become clean and in Krishna's association once again. Please accept me. Humility. Deep humility. And stay there. Stay in the mood of humility. Wishing to attain Krishna's shelter again. Then, seva abhilas. Wishing to render service. Of course, we're all doing service. We know constitutionally all living entities are Krishna's servant. Some are doing a better job at it. Some are doing a not such a good job at it. Even the criminals and the gangsters and the, you know, mobsters and the terrorists and the murderers, they're Krishna's servants too. They're just not doing a nice job at it. And we're somewhere, you know, not in that same bracket, but not doing such a nice job at it. But having the desire not just to be, you know, in your constitutional position, something that I read just the other day was specifically that having attained the stage of self-realization, was indicated by being situated in one's position. It was just one of the Bhagavatam verses, wasn't it? Sva something, something, something. Okay. Being situated in my constitutional position, I know who I am. Now, I'm free from designations. This was Judd Bharat speaking to Rahugana. I'm in my constitutional position. I know that I'm Krishna's servant. I can serve this way. I can serve that way. Whichever way he indicates. Whichever way you would like. You're the king, no problem. Whichever way you would like. It's still service to Krishna. So wishing to be in specifically in some personal service to Krishna. Deity worship is described specifically amongst the five angas of bhakti that are most important to assist us in chanting. It's personal service to Krishna. No question about it. Not that other things aren't, but it's very, very vividly clear. It helps inspire further the hankering for attaining Krishna's association and Krishna's service. And then a third is hrida abhilas, wishing, hrida is the heart, wishing to have a relationship with Krishna. I mean, we have a relationship with Krishna, but to be consciously active in that relationship with Krishna, like we might be consciously active in a relationship with our friend or some people, their dog or their other mother or something. To be consciously eager, abhilas, eager for that relationship, be situated in my relationship with Krishna in all the things that I do. And you that awakens naturally through chanting. Chanting in the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti stage and gradually cleansing the heart and gradually coming to the stage of Nishtha, like we read about. And something that helps achieve all of those is the association of those who have such quality. It's always beneficial to be in the association of devotees, and it's especially beneficial to be in the association of elevated devotees and to hear from them and serve them. Nityam bhagavata sevaya nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavata, Prabhupada explains, there's two, the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata, and we render service, sevaya, service by hearing the Bhagavata and service by hearing the person Bhagavata. And whatever other, like say, you know, serve the mission of our founder Acharya. He had a desire, a really important one, the desire that the whole world should have an opportunity to receive Krishna in their life once again. So that's his desire. Let me serve him. As I hear from him, let me fulfill his desire. Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan, expand the network of loving relationships through the medium of hearing and chanting by going here and there and inconveniencing myself so that for that purpose to serve the Bhagavata, and that way the abhadras, the impurities of heart, become more cleansed. It's my purification and it's the fulfillment of his desire. It's awakening of love that will enhance my development of taste, and it will, so through association with great personalities or by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita to associate with Lord Chaitanya, or even specifically to chant, hear, and remember the Shikshastakam verses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the very advanced amongst them, I'm going to read
his translation.
Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram, that one. Prabhupada's translation. Oh my Lord, O Krishna, O son of Maharaj Nanda, like really specific, Lord. O Lord, O Krishna, O son of Maharaj Nanda, like more intimate. Lord, more specific, more intimate. Son of Maharaj Nanda, it's Krishna in Vrindavan. I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust of your lotus feet. Oh, humility, and as you heard from these examples of taste, a hankering for his shelter, his association, his mercy, his relationship with him, and what will really just be a dust, particle of dust upon your lotus feet. There's other renderings of that same verse, just to churn the nectar a little bit. Those of you that have been here when Dravida has been here, you know this one, his poetization of Shikshastakam. So here it is. I can't do it like he would do it. He gets everybody clapping and dancing and jumping. But here it is. Your servant for eternity, I lost my true identity and fell into this horrid sea of birth and death, O Lord. O Nanda's son, please hear my plea. By your sweet grace, consider me a speck of dust upon your lotus feet forevermore. Then he would say it again and say it again. So it's a meditation of, it's a mood of enchanting. How do you regard Krishna, the two syllables? And this is a mood. It's a very advanced mood. There's feeling. There's humility. There's appeal to be again in association. With maximum humility, just a particle of dust at your lotus feet, I'll be fully happy. Here's another translation. This is very nice. I'm going to read it again at the very end, so some of you have heard this before. O son of Nanda, Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. Notice the feeling. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you. But somehow, I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I am under unfavorable circumstances. I am suffering. And without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present imprisoned condition. Very powerful, huh? With feeling. And when you chant to Krishna's name with feeling, or you associate with others who are chanting Krishna's name with feeling, it helps awaken feeling. It helps awaken taste. Just like, I don't know if any of you experienced this during the drama during Rath Yatra, those of you that were here, Jagannath Priya Natakam. There are parts of that drama that you just cry because it's so, it's just actors on the stage, and you know they did a fantastic job. They rehearsed it, and the music was really, you know, added to the feeling. If you listen carefully to the music, it really complemented the mood of, but it, you know, drama, Vedic drama, this is, you know, Rupa Goswami is expert, and Sarup Damodar was expert in drama, not just, you know, like some do something creative for a while. It was to stir emotions in relation to Krishna. That's the purpose of drama. In fact, all the language of Rupa Goswami's Nectar Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then the sequel to that. It's language of the Vedic science of drama. There are stimulations of ecstatic love, and there's language in Sanskrit for it. And so the qualities of Krishna are udipans. What's that? Stimulations of ecstatic love. So that when Stai bhav. It's like, you know, the drive shaft of a car, and it's turning. It's turned by the stimulations of ecstatic love. When that connection with Krishna that we've been describing a little bit is strong, not only appeal, but it's there and it's strong. Hearing the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the form of Krishna, it turns the drive shaft and the car starts going. It's no longer a machine anymore. It's a spontaneous movement. One can't control it. Like so many nice examples of Pundarik Vidyanidhi hearing some verse when sung by Mukunda, and he went into ecstasy. Or the royal physician, when seeing the peacock fan, he went into a state of ecstasy. And he made a story saying, oh, I have this problem like epilepsy every now and then. I have an epileptic fit. And the king said, no, I know better. You saw the fan and you thought of Krishna. You're such a devotee that it stimulated your ecstatic love for Krishna. Just seeing the fan of reminding you of Krishna. So summary, how to come to that stage of taste, continue chanting, practice. By practice, then there's a simple saying that Prabhupada made, practice makes perfect. We all know that one. Practice makes something that's, you know, maybe not what we're used to, but we practice it. Because from scripture we know, if we follow Vidhi Bhakti, it becomes second nature. You practice at something, it becomes second nature. Especially when it's of the soul. So continue with faith to practice, and that stage of taste will come. Another is associate with those great souls like Rupa Goswami who have given us nice teachings, or Lord Chaitanya, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Srila Prabhupada, our great acharyas, that have given us this boat to enter into the basics of what we're doing properly. And we can get their association and progress nicely. Then a third is to connect a desire to chant with taste, like a question, I would say it's, you know, of the top five questions repeatedly asked as I travel as a sannyasi, when will I go beyond this mechanical chanting and get, you know, some real taste for chanting? Different ways it's asked, but that's the question, more or less. And here's an answer that Prabhupada gave to that. Align our desire with activity. You know, do something practical. So, in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's description of overcoming the offenses in chanting, you know, there's 10 offenses, and he says there's techniques to overcome the offenses that are recommended, but his summary statement is the most important is the desire to do so. And then you connect the desire to do so with some practical activity. And it can be this activity or that activity, but the most important thing is your desire to do so. And then you connect that with some practical activity. And then you stay with that practical activity. Like in the course of today, there may be some things that you'll hear. In the course of Saturday, some additional things that you hear. Then we have our 32 round day on Sunday. You apply some of those things with this desire to let me improve the focus in my chanting. And zoom, 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 off you go. And then comes complacency and comes a crash. What happened? So don't be complacent. Have through association and through hearing and through gradual maturing in Krishna consciousness, one can get to that stage. So it's like align the heart with the mind and the body. So, you know, and then invite Krishna in and strive to become attracted to the all attractive Krishna, both, you know, receiving and inviting. So if you like, if you're going to invite a guest to your home, what do? One of the things you do, besides, like, say, can you come visit, you make the place clean, and you consider what are the things that they like, and you prepare the things that they like. So when they come in, it's clean, and here's some things that they like, because you want to please them. So as we do that conventionally, we can do the same in our restoring our relationship with Krishna, our natural attraction for Krishna. And that way, chanting with taste will gradually come our way. So, those are some thoughts on this topic. See if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Subal.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj. I want to clarify if I understood, you know, your whole presentation properly, especially from the answer that Srila Prabhupada gave to the question about chanting with quality. How do we know if I'm chanting with quality? Prabhupada say you must. And your presentation, as I understood, the chanting with quality is that type of chanting that will lead us to chant with taste. And then the chanting with quality will be applying all those instructions like Rupa Goswami and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti?
No. Okay. Chanting with quality is much higher than viting. Chanting with quality, because what you said is take the instructions and apply them. That will help us get to quality, but that's still following vidhis that will help us get there. And quality is, you're there.
So then chanting with quality and chanting with taste, that's what those are, you know,
They're in the same level. They're not identical terms, but they're in the same, they're up there.
So
beyond the grosser forms of lots of clutter of contamination and, you know, static, not a very clear signal of the Krishna channel.
So when Srila Prabhupada said answer like that, is basically there's no question of actually considering if I actually chanting with quality when, you know, just
Yes. His point was, you're chanting because I told you to chant. You're chanting under the order of the spiritual master. And that's nice. That's Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti. Quality is in the mature stage when the contaminations are gone, the attraction for Krishna is awakened. There's full shelter. It's, you know, the relationship with Krishna is unimpeded, and you're chanting. It's, you know, like what Rupa Goswami is writing in that nice prayer. One desires millions of years and many mouths, and the mind's, the activities of the mind cease, and the senses become inert. Then it's endless chanting. Not it's just regulative, it's transcendental spontaneous chanting, beyond the regulative stage. And it comes of its natural course. Because we're associating, I'll just add this, there's some devotees in our community here that are reading books, and they're trying to like put this piece of the puzzle together with that piece of the puzzle. We are already following Rupa Goswami. We're followers of Rupa Goswami, Rupanugas, and he's there. Now he's giving teachings of how the stages of bhakti unfold. But it's, you know, following such qualified persons like him, then where, you know, when one is qualified to do so, there's the external part, and when we come to that stage that he has identified, and the Rupanugas, the followers of Rupa Goswami who identified, when there is the stage of beyond nishtha, is the stage of ruchi and asakti, then these more elevated stages can come. And there's not like, it's not like it's a bucket, and there's no attraction until that stage is there. There's no taste until that stage is there. But it's preliminary. When it's really robust, that's what we're talking about. Quality. No question of I've completed my rounds.
Thank you.
But it's not, we shouldn't imitate such persons either. Our focus at this stage is the mood of service, desiring to serve the devotees, desiring to serve our founder Acharya, desiring to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's given us the holy name. This mood of service through the chanting of the holy name. So much so that any other consideration just pales. And, you know, that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was saying, is the barometer for having attained nishtha. And by the way, nishtha is a stage where abhadras, unwanted things, are prayeshu, nearly destroyed to nil. Nearly destroyed to nil means devotion is so strong, there may be some residual something, but it's overwhelmed by the desire to serve. It just isn't going to surface. It isn't going to like the verse of the chance of fruitive activity, acting in the bodily conception and pursuing happiness through the senses, it's just not going to manifest. Just not going to manifest. And that's not the perfect stage, that's the nishtha stage. And beyond that, having achieved that and into the asakti stage, then the spontaneous stage is possible. And we'll get there through Rupa Goswami, very carefully following Rupa Goswami in our present mode of Vaidhisadana Bhakti. We'll get there. We can be assured. We have been assured. So the hankering is, let me develop this mood of service and be situated in serving Krishna always, in my relationship with Krishna, in the mood, in just being his servant. And the details of what that is comes in course of time. It will be revealed. That's the teaching that we get from our acharyas. Anything else? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks a lot. Maharaj, please help me understand a little bit better what nishtha is about.
What is about?
What nishtha, the stage of nishtha is about. Is somebody who is fixed up but doesn't have still the taste. He's not in the platform of he's just in the platform of nishtha. How does he do that?
How?
Is it an intellectual level?
No.
Is it so? Because
it's a matter of faith, not an intellectual thing. It's faith. And faith is, here's something that may help. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kadambini that one way of looking at the nine stages of bhakti is it's just different nomenclature for faith. The mature stage of faith is love of God. The beginning stage is preliminary faith, and everything else has got another name. Nishtha is firm faith. But it's just stages of faith. So firm faith means there may be some residual something, but my faith is so strong it's just not going to happen. The heart has become sufficiently pure due to the preliminary faith and the practice of bhakti and the effect, the purifying effect that of devotional service and carefully avoiding offenses, that this nishtha stage has come. I'm convinced. And not at the love of God stage, but I'm convinced. I may not know all scriptural arguments. This is the Madhyama position. I may not know all the scriptural arguments. And somebody says, hey, what about such and such? And I may not know all the scriptural arguments to defeat the such and such. My faith is fixed. And it's not an intellectual thing. It's a from the heart thing. And, you know, I have faith in the process of devotional service, etc. The holy name will take me there. The teachings and the teachers and... Mature stage of faith. Not perfect.
Think without developing a taste in it.
How can you be fixed up in something?
How can you be good at something without having
it? It's fixed means it's an inclination of heart. So that faith may not have matured yet. Let's do this. Certainly, there's taste. It's like the expression I gave is not a bucket. When I pass the bucket of nishtha, then I enter another bucket. It's very broad. The purification of unwanted things in the heart happens at the very beginning stage. But there's a stage that's called anartha nivritti, where that's predominantly what's going on. But there's faith throughout, and with faith, there must be some taste even in the preliminary stage. Otherwise, why would you even pick up a bead bag? There must be. At our japa retreats, for example, just like somebody that never chanted before, just by being in the association of all the devotees that are chanting, they chanted. And they experienced something. And there was a taste. But that taste is, according to Rupa Goswami, it's a shadow. But it's something. They're tasting something. Just like sense gratification, they're tasting something. But it's, you know, it's illusory something. It's just some sparshaja. It's just the senses contacting an object. That's not what happiness is, nor is it really what taste is. And similarly, the preliminary stages of that which keeps us going is just, it's a shadow of, it's abhas. Of the real thing. But there's some taste even in the shadow. There's some happiness. There's some potency. That's when we experience the shuddha. Ooh. So there's some taste, but it's not that.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, my question is about the enthusiasm or the desire with which we perform devotional service like japa or different things, different aspects, seems to be fluctuating. Sometimes we are more enthusiastic, sometimes we are not. So,
why?
And how do we at least try to keep it constant so that we chant enthusiastically all the time?
Standard question. Fine. The wavering has a name. Anishtata. Unsteady. Sine curve, right? Of course, yours goes this way. Okay, so it's due to imperfect motivation. Like twice, Bhaktisiddhanta wrote about in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says one should give up material motivations. So material motivations is part of the unsteadiness. When I'm experiencing suffering, I'm motivated. When everything's fine, not the same motivated. So, due to material motivation and due to anarthas, or impurities that arise within the heart from different sources, and they're identified. That's the cause of the unsteadiness. That was your question. Then the second is how to overcome it. Continue practice. Gradually, the striving to chant without offense and perform devotional service without offense, without offending the devotees, without offending the deities, without offense, striving like that, then one can overcome the unsteadiness and become steady. That's the anartha nivritti stage. That's the anatomy of anartha nivritti. Constant practice and detachment. Isn't that what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? How do you control the mind? Constant practice and detachment. Okay? Follow up. Yes?
Yeah, I had one more question.
Okay.
Why is it that we are more attracted to chanting in the form of kirtan and not chanting japa? Because we don't need to sit through a retreat or a class to chant, do kirtan. I mean, we are sometimes naturally attracted, but we need to sit through so many sessions, so many presentations to chant attentively or with desire.
Sure.
So, why is it that the different forms of the same chanting of the holy names, one is attractive?
Thank you. Bhadra Hari's given seminars on this topic, and I'm going to invite him to give a short answer to this question. Can you give the microphone to Bhadra Hari Prabhu?
I've solved the problem by not having attraction for either one.
Anyone else? Go ahead.
Sorry, I don't have a good answer right now.
Oh, yes, you do. Okay, I'll help. One without the other says something. What is it that we're attracted about kirtan that is missing in japa? It's not. In kirtan, there's attraction for the holy name, and in japa, there's no attraction for the holy name. It's something else that we're attracted to in kirtan. But that's part of what helps us become attracted to kirtan, the other stuff. And then in the center, there's the jewel of the holy name. But, we're social beings. We like the company of others. And japa is solitary or singular, and kirtan is multiple. Although you can sit and, some persons can anyways, sit and sing just by themselves. But the taste is nicer when you're with others. And then there's the music part. The vocal part and the instrument part and the skill part and, exhibiting one's skills or reciprocating with others in you know, like a team. So that's that has its attraction. The music part, the vocal part, the social part. And then, you know, oh, by the way, there's the holy name. But, you know, because of that, there is some happiness, a spiritual happiness that comes from kirtan because of the holy name, not just because of the other components. And therefore, there are people who are not sadhakas who like kirtan. But ask them to chant japa, they'll come for kirtan. Want to add?
I was just remembering one second generation young man. He was at a long kirtan, and he told me that at a certain point he didn't care who was singing or what the melody was or anything. There was only the holy name. So I think it was a nice example of what you said. We don't actually have, I know there are kirtaneers out there that can't chant japa, but somehow or other they chant kirtan because, you know, there's some name and fame that keeps them chanting kirtan, and they like the musical aspect. But because they're chanting the holy name, eventually there's hope that they'll actually develop, become purified and develop attachment for the holy name. So it's if we don't have attraction for being with Krishna alone, then we can't think that we necessarily have attraction for him because we're in a party, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We have to develop our genuine attachment, our, you know, relationship with Krishna, both in kirtan and in japa. But it's helpful to have the association of devotees. For the reasons that you said, there's the music, there's the social aspect. But at the same time, if it's only music and social, it won't take us very far. We should have the intention when we come to kirtan that we want to deepen our relationship with Krishna. Then that's another kind of kirtan. Sometimes we do kirtan for people that want to be entertained. And, you know, that's one kind of kirtan. They're looking at the kirtan leader as a performer or as an entertainer. But when you have kirtan with people that just spent the whole day chanting 64 rounds, really trying to deepen their relationship with Krishna, then that's a different kind of kirtan. So either way, it depends on the focus. One other aspect, though, is that If you are with serious chanters, people that are chanting because they want to develop a relationship with Krishna, then their combined bhakti helps you. And that's another reason why it's called, why they call it a group petition. We're all petitioning Krishna together. So that's very, very, very powerful, and it does help bring out more feelings. Anyway, a couple of thoughts.
One other thought. The most of you don't live in temples, and so this is a very nice opportunity to chant japa with other devotees. So each of the next mornings, Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and then after Sunday morning, the 32 rounds, you will find, we will all find, that, wow, that was powerful. Because we're used to just chanting on our own, which is different than chanting with others. So it says something about, maybe I should put in my schedule, I'm a householder, that, you know, I have this job and stuff, you know, my house and look after things. But some part of my week or my, you know, my japa time should be when I'm chanting with others. as you know, following what you that last part you just said, this energy of being with others, it's powerful. Well, we have 3.5 minutes. Right here, up front.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, how can we help our children to create a taste in chanting?
You twist their arm. If they don't chant, you just twist their arm. Ah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That was a joke. It was a bad joke. You can't force your children. You create an atmosphere that's inviting, devotionally inviting. And, you know, some children are more inclined, some are less inclined, some are more playful, and, you know, it's etc. So just create the atmosphere and do things, do devotional things together as a family. And one of the devotional things can be chant japa. Little. So that's some suggestion. If, you know, if a particular child doesn't show any interest, be patient. Don't force. Just continue to set a good example, create a nice atmosphere, invite it, but don't force. In course of time, I won't embarrass some devotees here, but you know, some of our younger devotees that just didn't, they liked everything but chanting. And now they're chanting. Just, you know, from all the other things that are devotional, and now they're chanting. And they're happy to chant. They like chanting, when before they didn't. So, you can't force, don't worry about it. Create a nice atmosphere and do nice devotional things together, and chanting can be one of them. A little bit. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for that class.
Hare Krishna.
So I have this question. You were explaining during the lecture that you have to chant. You're chanting using your tongue and listening using your ears, and you're concentrating on the object of whom, what you're chanting. But sometimes when in practical, when you're actually chanting, the object, you're not able to concentrate on
a particular.
You're not able to concentrate on a particular object.
Really?
Maybe, sometimes. Okay. So, how can we improve?
Practice.
Make the mind concentrate on that.
Practice, association, and hear, like, the glories of the holy name. Hear what it is. What is this sound Krishna? Who is Krishna? And so forth. So by understanding, it helps. It doesn't knock everything out of the way, all obstacles. But it helps. What is the holy name? What is this object? And why is it that the Yuga Dharma and so like that? That's knowledge. Knowledge will help. And hearing will help cleanse, you know, the other shelters that we have. And then continue to practice faithfully. And bring into your life the association of other faithful people. And that will help you. Slowly, you know, the lack of concentration will become easier. Just by purification. Gradually. Be very patient. Read, I invite you to read Nectar of Instruction, verse 3. First three parts. Okay? There's six things, and there's read the first three things. Read the whole verse, it's nice, good. Anything from the ladies' side? Way over there. At 12:30, RT is supposed to begin, and I don't know if that clock is in sync with the altar clock. 12:30 is RT, right? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is about the alignment of our desire and practical activity. I'm trying to understand how to get to a place of doing a practical activity with more connection with my desire because it's often clouded with when I get to the practical activity, it gets clouded with doership mentality and so many other things.
Same answer. Similar question, not the same question. Same answer. Understand what and why and how. Practice and associate with those that have developed that nicely. Hear from them, take their association. So and continue. Cultivation, in other words, in one word. Anushilanam. Cultivation. Okay, we're going to stop and take part in Arati. See the Prabhupada ki.